Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and yes, you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Let me show you how to work with Mother Nature and stand up against her. So I'm really excited about today's show. we have a special guest. His name is Josh Tickle. He's the author of the book Kiss the Ground, and amongst other things. He's a Sundance Award winner, film director, best-selling author, and thought leader in the fields of youth, climate, and alternative energy. In 1997, Josh vividly painted Veggie Van, made headlines across the United States as it picked up used frying oil and turned it into fuel. And his subsequent movie, Fuel, went to theaters globally and was shown in the White House. He is the author of the book Kiss the Ground. Oh, there's two books. The one's called Kiss the Ground, and the other one's called The Revolution Generation. He's also co-director and producer of the upcoming documents entitled Kiss the Ground and The Revolution Generation. So he'll be on in a little bit, and we're going to be talking about, well, his book, what he's doing, and we'll see what happens there. Of course, if you want to talk to him or talk to me, if you have a question about the book, which is an incredible book. I haven't seen. I didn't. I have to tell you the truth. I didn't get the Revolution Generation, so I have to get that. I'm pretty sure I have an idea what it's about because it tells you in the book. but if you have questions, you want to talk to us. That's what it's all about here, really. And so if you don't know the 800 number, it's 888-627-6008. There's a direct line, which is 323-944-4831. And of course you can use the Skype. There's a Skype call letters, I guess you call it, BBS Radio PR. It's all lowercase. That'll get us right into Skype. There's also, you can contact me if you have a question either about the show. Usually people contact me afterwards to with a question about the show. You can just go to my website, use the inquiry form, right? And you write radio show on there, give me a question, and I'll answer them back. I will email you back, and as well as talk about it on the radio show here in the following show. And that also gets you entered in our contest because, we have an ongoing contest. I guess my, oh, you know what? I think, I messed up a little bit in terms of getting my guest on because I forgot to give my engineer the number for him to call or even tell him what to do to call because he normally Deborah did it for me. And I just realized that the Josh has no idea what to call or do anything or even get a hold of it. So hopefully, if you're out there, Josh, listening, boy, that's a mess up. So if you're out there listening, which you might be, because if you go to the website, Invisible Gardener, or to BBS Radio, because I provided the link when I did the advertising on there, and they do have a number to call there. So feel free to call that number and tell Tom who you are. And next time I have to remember to tell people to give them the, to, because normally the engineer would call you, see? I would get your number and the engineer would call you. And I don't think that I got a number from you. I'm looking at here in your paperwork. And now that I think of it, we missed that obvious part there in terms of getting a phone number from Josh here, because I don't see his number. Otherwise, I would just have the engineer call you. But no, I don't see it for some strange reason where the engineer... Please send me the following, a number where the engineer can call you. See, I said it on there, so somehow I must have not gotten that response back. Let me look and see. So let me put some... give me a second here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to... yes, sir. See, that's what happens when you... I just started doing my guest shows again after our brother fire and all this stuff and everything. So let me see if I have it over here in terms of my emails that I can maybe find it, because I think I may have messed up there in terms of actually... seeing where that phone number is. Let's see. I don't see a phone. No. I can see what happened is that I didn't get a phone from you, Josh. I got your 10 core scenarios, but I didn't see the phone to call in with. So if this doesn't happen, we'll do it again next week, or we'll see, right? Because I think next week I was supposed to have somebody else on who hasn't called me yet either. So I guess let me see. I have no way to get a hold of him. And I'm hoping that if he listening to the show, he can identify him. I'm looking. I don't see anything. Oh, that's too bad. We missed a phone number. Yeah. Usually right down here with the emails, you know, you have a phone number, but I don't have no phone number. So anyway, that's what you get when you do a live show and it's done by, let's see. So I don't see the phone number on here to call. That's kind of odd. Usually you have it. I have it right there. See, a number where the agent can call you. So it didn't get anything back, and I thought I had seen it. So, Josh, if you're out there, give us a call here. Let me give you the number again. It's 888-627-6008. If you call now, the engineer will pick you up and pipe you right into the show. Otherwise, I'm going to just start talking about it, because... it's really a very important book. You know, I've been talking about, my first book was called How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. That was in 1971, 72, something like that. 71, 72, 73, maybe 74, somewhere along in there. And the basic idea was exactly pretty much what Josh is talking about here in terms of, because I read the it's an excellent book, by the way. It's called Kiss the Ground: How the Food You Eat Can Reverse Climate Change, Heal Your Body, and Ultimately Save Our World. Let me see if I can send him an email right now. Hi, Josh. We need a phone number. Let me see if I can either that or you can call phone number, or you call, let's see, it's at 888. So you know what, the Mercury is retrograde, so I'm not saying anything, it's just 888-627-6008. So there you go. I'm going to send this off and see if Josh replies. But I'm going to get Josh back on again. One advantage of doing your own show is that you pretty much, it's your show. I'll get him back on again if he doesn't manage to make it through the obstacle course to get on today. And The whole book is amazing, but towards the end of the book, there's a section here, there's a part here that says, if you flipped to the very end of this book to get straight to the bottom line, here's the big takeaway. Now, more than ever, you have the power to use your money, your voice, your hands, and most important, your forks and knives to completely alter the future of the world in which we live. Wow. And that's why I said, you know, in my first book, How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. So in your spare time, what's that? You know, to me, like forks and knives, or can you get any more spare time than that in a sense of you don't have to do anything else differently other than what you normally do on your day-to-day basis. And forks and knives has a lot to do with, of course, how we eat and what we – and agriculture and farming and all that stuff makes a big, big toll on the planet. You'd be surprised how much damage it does to the soil and to the environment if it isn't done correctly, and it's not being done correctly. And so, and that's the key to the that's a, you know, when you talk about kiss the ground, I tell people heal the earth, and you heal yourself. What I really meant to say specifically is heal the soil, and you heal yourself. So I'm sorry we're not getting together today, Josh. I was looking forward to talking to you about this, all these different things that your book covers, because it's really, really cool. It covers a lot about, you know, when I talk a lot about organics, you know, organic. Like people come down on me all the time, don't panic, it's organic, you know, that's funny. The organic is still toxic. Lots of organic compounds or chemicals. Organic is not natural, you know. And he talks here a little bit about organic, the word organic, you know, and how it's confusing to a lot of people, and what happens is that in the market, you know, there's a certified organic is another issue, and that's one of the things they talk in here about being a certified organic farmer, actually a farmer who's not certified organic, and why. And how he is organic and sustainable. There's a lot of stuff in here that gets covered, and I really like it. Especially when it comes to, you know, it's like I've been talking about this for a long time, and so when someone comes along and kind of like not only verifies what you're talking about, but also takes it a few steps further, because that's what you want. You want somebody to take what you're doing and run with it, right? You know, I always talk about not tilling the soil and the damage you do to the soil and the microorganisms. Well, guess what? There's a whole section here on that. This, the chapters alone kind of tell you what. Mr. Engineer is sending me a little text here. Call into the show during the live show. Type in my number. I need to call. Or Skype handle that to add. Call into the show or only during the live shows. Type me any number I need to call. Okay, yeah. I don't have a number. I don't have a number, man. No idea. He never sent me my number. His number. Okay, there you go. So he never sent me my number, so I don't have a phone number on any of the emails. For some reason, that slid by me because I ask for 10 questions. He sent me the 20 questions, and I usually have the phone number there. And I didn't get it. I should have called it earlier because I would have asked you for the phone number. So my fault. I need to get that together, I guess. Anyway, the chapters are really cool. Yeah? Josh on line one? You kidding me? Hey, Josh.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I don't need you, Josh. I can do your book by myself.
That's fantastic.
Did you get the part about, I'm sorry about, I didn't get the phone number and I totally missed it, you know, and the lady that normally does this for me, her name is Deborah. She lived in Paradise, you know, where they had the fire, and she was my co-host, and she was like my left arm. So now I don't have a left arm or a right arm, you know.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I should have gotten it, and it usually pops up in my calendar, and I guess it just, it's, you know, two wrongs don't make a radio show. So.
But here you are, and hopefully we can get you on again, because what your book, you know, we could talk about it for a year, take a chapter and go over one each month, you know, that's that much information in it. By the way, you know, don't forget to send me an address. I was looking for an address because I wanted to send you a copy of my book, right?
Okay, no problem. Yep, I'll send that to you. Okay.
Listen, you know, I wanted to start with this. I don't know if you heard it, but let me say it again. So it says here, you know what I'm talking about when I read it. It says, if you flip to the very end of this book to get straight to the bottom line, here's the big takeaway. Now more than ever before, you have the power to use your money, your voice, your hands, and most important, your forks and knives to completely alter the future of the world in which we live. Man, that's it in a nutshell, ain't it?
That's it. That's simple. It is that simple.
I was telling the folks when I first, my first book was How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time, and that's pretty much it. You don't have to do anything other than what you're doing now, right? Except different.
Well, exactly. We're all going to do exactly what we're doing. Why don't we do it well and do it so that it makes a big difference? Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Tell you a minute, I love the book. I got it, I don't know, when you first came out, you know, what was it, 6 months ago?
When the book came out? I can't even remember when we put it out now. Yeah.
I got it because a friend of mine is hip to this stuff. He says, you got to read this book. Oh, my God. And I really love it. There's so much information in here, right? There's so much information, and it covers. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a long time, all these different things, and you cover, you do such a good job of going from, you know, you actually cover, you know, I talk about, for example, you know, why it's not good to rototill the earth, what happens when you're destroying, because I tell people the soil is like the skin, it's like our skin. If you destroy our skin, we're not going to last long. So if we destroy the soil, we're not going to last long. And guess what you cover here is exactly that.
Yeah, well, it's so important for folks to realize that single tool, that invention, the plow, is responsible in some ways for human civilization, but in other ways it's responsible for the demise of human civilization. So
that's right.
It is literally a double-edged sword.
It is, and it's kind of interesting too, because the damage. See, we thought better and better at this, right? So instead of having a cow or whatever it is to pull your one little thing, now you have big machinery which turns over acres and acres and acres, right?
Well, it's all about, you know, it's all about damage and healing. You know, we do damage no matter what when we do agriculture, but can we create the conditions necessary to let it heal, i.e. to let the ground heal, the plants heal, the earth heal? And if we can do that, we can regenerate soil, and soil is the basis for civilization.
That's right. And I do a local business, and people say, well, what do? You don't have a name, Invisible Gardener, right?
Yes.
You know, yeah, and so I started basically telling people, well, gee, let me see. We should pay attention to the soil. As an arborist, my first tree job was because the tree had ants, and so the tree was stressed out. So I said, well, why is this tree stressed out? Let me look at the soil, and let me see what's going on, because that's the key. If you heal the soil, you heal the trees. And interesting enough, if you heal the soil, you also heal yourself, right?
There you go. It's all connected. We are all one in nature. We are all one.
So why don't you tell people a little bit about, because, you know, they may not know who you are, even though I kind of doubt it. But, you know, what happened? So how you got started and how you got to here now? Because, you know, I have to admit, I didn't see your veggie van, right, which I love. You know, you're actually a very good marketer because you get your message across in such a way that people understand it, and you know, otherwise you're totally lost in there. So tell people what it is you're doing, man, because I don't think everybody knows, and you know, it's time, right?
Sure. Well, to take a step back, you know, I'm an author and a filmmaker primarily, but all inside advocacy for the planet or for the environment, and also for human health, because they are directly connected. The more we learn about the environment, the more we learn about how we are a result of that. Our body's a result of the condition of the environment in which we live. And so my journey began with a veggie van, a vegetable oil-powered van that was on the Today Show in 1997. And really what I wasn't promoting, you know, vegetable oil per se as the ultimate solution. It was a time when the Gulf War was still very hot in people's minds. And the concept was just, look, there are alternatives to petroleum. We don't have to go to war for oil. It was clear to those of us who were paying attention that the whole scam of weapons of mass destruction was a distraction for what was really going on was, you know, the United States needed to control a certain quantity of OPEC oil. And in so doing, we were controlling a substance that was both hurting the people where it came from and hurting the people where it ended up, meaning, you know, anytime you extract oil, you can look at the area where it's extracted, and it's been usually irrevocably damaged. And then where do we burn oil? We put it in the atmosphere, and what happens? Well, I think at this point it's pretty clear to, you know, well and truly beyond 95% of the population, aside from anybody who's got a really theological stance that science is not correct, that that we are altering the climate of the planet. So that was 1997 when we started that journey with the veggie van, and fast forward, here we are 11 years, teamed up with my wife, we make environmental documentaries. And I had the honor of working with the Kiss the Ground nonprofit in Los Angeles, which advocates for healthy soils worldwide. And super exciting time to be advocating for that, because the big realization, the big aha, after 11 years of doing this, is that the carbon dioxide that humanity has put in the atmosphere for basically over 150 years since the birth of the Industrial Revolution can be sucked back down into the soil. And the soil is the key. So here we have one key. It's the same key for human health, animal health, water abundance, food abundance, and climate stabilization. And it's the soil. It's the original Garden of Eden. So we are literally standing on the solution. It's the most simple solution, the most elegant solution. And that's why I got to write the book, Kiss the Ground, with a nonprofit. And folks should check out kisstheground.com. It's a nonprofit organization, really, really cool people, doing a lot of cool work. They offer workshops online. And that's why we're sort of on this mission to advocate for a rehabilitation of the planet's soil.
You know that the whole key, you know, I talk, everything I do is really based upon even the name Invisible Gardener, because the real gardener is... I tell people the soil is alive, right? But the soil also has a consciousness, because it's a very ancient being. I call it mycelium, a very ancient being. We evolved millions of years from the mycelium, and we have this relationship. I think it mentions in your book, you know, anything, you know, we have to eat, and whatever we eat comes from there. And so basically I see the mycelium as the world's greatest gardener, provides for us the food that we need, because eventually he's going to eat us too. He's at the top of the chain, of the food chain, as far as I'm concerned. And the whole thing about that we have gotten away from is we don't treat the soil as a living being anymore, or the earth or the environment that we're in. Because it's really a living being, and if that living being gets sick, and we're like fleas on this dog, and if the dog is not healthy, I think that's not a good analogy, but you know, I mean, we're living on a being. If the being is not healthy, we're not going to be able to be healthy. And right now, you know, we're going through so many different climate, you know, like with climate change. Okay, so like, you know, we've managed to push the buttons and make it swing further and go out of whack more and more because of all the toxins this. And I mean, the book covers a lot of areas in here in terms of how we generate toxins, from whether it be through agricultural use or through whatever other methods we want to incorporate in the name of business, you know. But at the same time, you know, this healing, right, the healing process, talk about healing the earth, it's not like an overnight thing, you know. And we have to, we have to somehow stop, you know. I tell people, look, you stick your hand in the fire and it's burning your hand, might be a good idea to stop sticking your hand in the fire. But as long as you keep sticking your hand in the fire, you ain't going to heal it. And so that's a big problem, right, in terms of stopping people from doing harm to themselves and the planet.
Well, humans are funny. You know, we react when we are faced with certain conditions or certain stimulus. And our society numbs us. We are literally pulled away from any kind of stimulus that connects us to the planet. From our cars, to the cement, to our homes, we've really become exceptionally disconnected. And that numbing takes us out of the connections that we need to have in order to have the stimulus to have an appropriate reaction. So what's an appropriate reaction to, you know, industrialized farming where we're using tremendous amounts of chemicals? Yes, we create a lot of calories, but they're toxic calories. You know, we can measure a child's IQ dropping against the amount of toxic pesticides used in food. And this is not a random study. There are many peer-reviewed studies now that correlate all sorts of different children's health disorders to the quantity of pesticides that they're ingesting, either directly through food or through air or through water. And so the appropriate stimulus to that is to stop using those pesticides.
Yeah.
But the United States is on an accelerating upward path, using more and more and more. And basically, we're injecting our kids with poison. So you've got to think, you've got to take a step back and go, okay, what's wrong with people? Are they just really stupid? You know, they come out, you know, exceptionally addled and unable to function. Or are they being brainwashed? Or are they not getting the right stimulus? And I don't think it's the first. I don't think people are stupid. I think we are disconnected from the right stimulus, and we're given a tremendous amount of incorrect stimulus. The human brain is wired to go after things that are attractive and shiny. And so from the packaging from the sodas to the chips to all of the stuff that we see in the grocery store is primarily designed to elicit a certain response. And if you took all of that and put in place pictures of what was happening inside the human body or what was happening to our children when we consume that kind of product, no one would consume it. So it's the correct stimulus has been replaced with an incorrect stimulus, and so you get the incorrect response from the human population. And that's what we have to course correct, and we just have to begin to tell a new story, which is the truth. It's sometimes a little abrasive to switch from fantasy to truth, but if you look at the health statistics in the United States of America and you look at the acceleration of, on one end, you've got a baby boomer population, the largest generation, that is accelerating itself into a medical coma, from heart disease
to
obesity. You look at the average room of baby boomers, and God bless you, I love you, baby boomers, but you are a sick bunch of people, not sick mentally, but sick physically. You take a tremendous amount of drugs, a tremendous amount of pharmaceuticals, you're on a tremendous amount of prescriptions, you're in a tremendous amount of pain, depression, anxiety, and so that's not the way life is supposed to be post 65. You're not supposed to be on an eternal drip of pharmaceuticals to stay alive. What has happened is we've become inundated with toxicity, and disconnected ourselves from the earth. One of our projects is called Down to Earth. It's literally about connecting your feet to the earth and the incredible science behind earthing.
It literally reduces
inflammation throughout the body. So, and on the flip side, on the other end, you've got two spectrums of life, the beginning and the end. In the beginning of life, we've got an acceleration of childhood diseases, many of which never existed before 1950, before the advent of tremendous quantities of chemicals.
Yep.
And so, you know, truth is hard, but life, living inside sickness, is harder. And so part of the soil story is, how long do you want to exist in a sick society, like physically ill? How long do you want to have sick children, physically ill children? How long do you want to be physically ill? And if your answer is, I don't want that anymore, then let's start talking about the soil. Because soil is the ultimate, that is the key to your health. There is a reason why children eat soil, and it is to accelerate the gut biome and acclimatize the gut biome to the soil biome. The bacteria in your body make up over 50% of the cells in your body. So I've said a lot. But the bottom line is, as you said it, if you want to change the world and yourself, you've got to change your behavior. Not radically. We're not advocating for you to become a raw foodist or, you know, breatharian. But we are giving information that allows people to change their behavior so that it benefits them and it benefits the planet. Very simple.
One of the things that I tell people is that they don't seem to understand that we're basically have done. There's an article written about a few years ago. 10 environmental boundaries we're not supposed to cross. And guess what? We have crossed every single one of them. We have managed to do the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be doing on this planet. We're cutting more and more trees down. We're destroying the ocean's capability of holding carbon, right? The ocean does that too. We're destroying the soil's capability of holding. I tell people farming, people don't realize that. But farming alone, worldwide farming practices, can account to up to 40% of the current carbon that's going back into the air and the destruction of, because trees, I tell people, what do trees do? They give off oxygen, taking carbon dioxide. We have to, so there are lots of things that are going on now. And, you know, we used to sit on a tree and just cut the branches here and the branches there. Now we're sitting on a tree and we're cutting the whole thing off. And that's a big problem with me. Listen, let me ask you a question. What is it? Tell people, I know what's going on. I mean, the whole earth is in trouble because the soils everywhere is in trouble. But what do you see?
Well, we've got, you know, if you pull back and look at the 50,000 foot view, and this is the view that most people don't have enough time to think about, or, you know, it's such a vast, complex ecosystem that we live in, but we spend most of our time focused on what exactly is in front of our face, and more that's a screen. So if you pull back and you look at the planet, we've got about 5 billion hectares of usable land. And just since 1980, maybe 1975, we've lost approximately a third of our topsoil. And the United Nations estimates that in 50-something years, we'll lose all of the usable topsoil on planet Earth. So that's 60 major harvests around the world. That's shocking, meaning human civilization, as we know it, which depends on food, will no longer be able to exist. So the most valuable resource on the planet is not oil, it's not gold, it's certainly not computer chips, it's not even, you know, your broadband speed, it's the soil. The soil is the basis for all wealth, it's the basis for all economies, it's the basis for all civilizations. And we know from Alan Toynbee's work that 20-something civilizations have risen and fallen in the course of human history, 20-something major civilizations.
At least, yeah.
And almost bar none, all of them fell because they outstripped their environmental resource, and they overconsumed their... So what's the resource? The resource is soil. As we use our soils, we move further and further away from the city. The production lines increase, the irrigation lines are longer, the water becomes more complicated. And so we play that on a global scale, and it's an end game. It's literally a lose-lose scenario. There is no win in the scenario. Everyone loses. And so the question is, and this is all the bad news, okay, so we'll cover all the bad news. You know, I think we've talked enough. The bad news is depressing enough, and we're used to doom and gloom. Here's the fascinating news, and the thing that we reveal in Kiss the Ground, the book. And this is the thing I want everybody to really listen up and take away. Scientists used to believe that it took anywhere from 100 to 1,000 years to build an inch of topsoil. Again, this is the basis for all food. This is the basis for our human existence. They used to believe that it took 100 years to 1,000 years. We're seeing in regenerative agriculture, a type of agriculture that regenerates the soil, we're seeing topsoil be built in as little as 3 to 5 years, a full inch
nice.
Of functional topsoil. Keep in mind, that's 50% carbon by weight. And so you're talking about a radical, totally disruptive view of agriculture globally, where instead of stripping those 5 billion hectares of the value that took thousands of years to build, we could rebuild that value in a matter of decades. We could literally stabilize the climate of planet Earth, according to the science we have today, within 20 to 30 years. Stabilize. Completely stabilize. And this is the only tool we know that can do it. The oceans are going to be a huge piece of the puzzle, but the oceans are not as accessible as the soil is today. We have literally an army globally of almost 1 billion people that can be put to work, that are already doing something in agriculture, that could be put to work at the fusion of creating more food per acre and stabilizing the climate. Who wouldn't want that? Who doesn't want a healthier planet that produces more food and also has a stable climate? I think everybody wants that. So that's the upshot. That's the good news, that we have the science, we have the methods, we know it works. It works in America, it works in Australia, it works in Poland, it works in Israel, it works in China, it works globally. You can regenerate soils from bare, barren, dry, hard rock into forests.
You know, one of the things that I tell people that they don't seem to understand is that part of the reason why the ocean is so toxic as it is because as the land becomes more toxic, it runs right. Everything goes in. There's a natural order of things, and usually it tends to flow from the land to the ocean. And if the ocean is alive, and I mean, if the land's alive and healthy, so will the ocean be alive and healthy. So once we clean, so the key is the soil. It's the key to everything that we do, including, you know, all the problems we're having now with tree diseases, for example, bark beetles and all these other. Oh, by the way, before I forget, it's just one of the things I wanted to mention to you that I really, really liked. Well, there's a lot of things I like about the book, and I like to be able to go over more with you sometime and go over with people. But one of my favorite sections is about the refractometer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have one?
Yes, of course. Oh yes.
Oh, cool. I have.
Yep.
Not to brag. I have four of them. I have one that's $35. Right. It's a $35.
Yeah.
It's for yep. beer. I have another one that's $100. Both of these analog. I have another one that was given to me in the early 70s when I was doing my radio show by the Leica company. It was worth about $5,000 in those days. It's a nice analog, but it's a pretty hefty little one, you know. It's got a nice weight to it. And then I have a digital one, which is $300, a digital one, which the digital is okay, but it's like you have to do it indoors. You can't. It's really a pain in the butt because you have batteries and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, but the $35 one gives me the same readings as the other one. it works great, and I love the fact that because once you get to a book, you'll see that I talk a lot about Bricks readings and the refractometer and how you can tell the minerals that are in there by the higher the reading. I tell people the greater the bricks, the greater the stress, the less the pest. But using it on eggs is kind of cool because I've never really done it on eggs before. But it would make total sense, you know, right?
Completely. Anything you can get the goo or the liquid from. And, refractometer is essentially reading the, index of refraction of light through a substance.
Yeah.
But essentially what you're getting is you're getting the content of the sugars and you're getting the lignans and you're getting the density of some of the most important indicators of nutrition. And of course, now we're going to see, this refractometer is a great device. I highly recommend folks get one from Amazon or from eBay. Catalog if you're anti-Amazon, which is understandable these days. But the device is so simple, and yet it gives you so much information. We print the original chart of all of the studies that were done in the 40s in the book.
I met Carrie Reams.
Well, that's great.
A long time ago. Yeah. And I do this different. I do things differently than everybody else. But I started doing refractometry readings on the lawn. I did them on roses. You can do them on trees. You just have to learn to establish a base. Different times of year, they're differently. So you'll find that it really works on anything that's living, right? Whether it be apples or oranges or... And the other thing, too, that's interesting, and I don't know if you know it or not, but like, for example, for an orange tree, people usually check the juice, put the juice on the refractometer. But I would take... I've been teaching people, you take the leaf and the flower, too, and you can measure the refractometer, right, reading from that.
That is invaluable. That is invaluable information you just gave. That is, people should be running around with refractometers measuring every living thing in their world.
We have a caller. Maybe wants to talk to you. Go ahead, Don.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Kimberly. I'm enjoying your conversation. I wanted to know if this is a question for both of you, for Josh and for Andy. How important is eating a plant-based diet to standing your ground, and also embracing the message of revitalizing the soil?
Go ahead, Josh. But I know what you're going to say, because the animal, growing cattle and meat, that's one of the worst destruction we've been doing to the planet since, we've been hunting, right?
Yes. So... one of my friends and one of the co-founders of Cafe Gratitude and the Kiss the Ground nonprofit is Ryland Engelhardt. Ryland's he's been a vegetarian vegan his whole life. And one of the things that Ryland says is, a natural response to what we're seeing in especially industrial agriculture is veganism or vegetarianism. He said that's a natural response. That's an intelligent response to that system, and I agree with him. The issue, of course, in the United States is we've got a farm policy that essentially subsidizes corn and soy. The majority of corn and soy in the United States goes into animal feed. The majority of that animal feed is for cattle, and the majority of those cattle are in factory farms, which anybody who is not dead and has a pulse and has driven up I-5 from Los Angeles to San Francisco and has seen the what's called Kauschwitz on Twitter, the largest cattle ranch in the western United States, you can see it from space, is appalled. I mean, there is just absolutely no conscionable reason why we should allow animal agriculture to continue under those circumstances. It's unhealthy for the animals, it's unhealthy for the air, it's unhealthy for the... There's the only people who win in that scenario are grocers, who mark up the meat and take a tremendous amount of money. So, you've got a profit-driven system with so little government regulation, it's laughable, on one side, that's driving this extremely destructive behavior and creating tremendous amounts of greenhouse gases. And on the other side, you've got a government that is literally, we are taking our tax dollars and paying people to grow the worst crop for the United States soils, i.e. corn mostly and soy a little bit, and just literally stripping any last bit of nutrition out of that country. That's the bad news.
And then,
okay, so let me give you the good news. The you know, the flip side of this, and this is the really mind-bending concept that we have to deal, you know, we as a society have to become more nuanced in our understanding of these things, because right now our understanding of that whole thing that I just described is ultimately a political problem. It is a political problem that rests in government, where we have allowed corporations to control government such that everyone's getting sick. Animals, plants, yep. Humans. Yep. On the flip side, if we look at how the soils of the great grain-growing regions of the United States and all the fertile regions of the world came into being, with the exception of river deltas, every other major fertile plains ecosystem, that soil was built through animal impact. In the United States, there were 60 million some odd bison or buffalo before European settlement, and tens of millions of other herbivores and ruminants crossing the continent, constantly moving, never stopping. They didn't live in CAFOs, you know, they didn't live in confined feedlots. They lived in the wild. And the impact of their hooves, their dung, and their urine combined to create mini ecosystems. And that's what created the plains. That's what created the great... We literally are eating from that buffalo bank account that was created, you know, throughout millennia, over thousands of years. Everyone, vegetarian, omnivore, vegan, if you eat today in the United States, you draw from the soil that was created from the buffalo. Now, here's the crazy part of this, and this is the reason why I say we have to become more nuanced, because our understanding of animal agriculture today is cows are bad. That's the complete understanding of anybody who studies this. That's what they get to. Cows are bad. And in reality, cows are the closest ruminant that we have to the buffalo, meaning their ecosystem services that they can perform if they are not confined, if they are constantly moved, if they're never allowed to eat grass below, say, 1 or 2 inches in length, if they're managed properly on the land, they can perform the same ecosystem services. In fact, worldwide, farm for farm, ranch for ranch, every regenerative system that we have studied uses animals to regenerate the soil. Mm-hmm. We don't find anywhere in nature where animals and plants don't coexist, meaning there's nowhere in nature where it's just plants, right? So we know from an ecosystem perspective, the harmony created by plants and animals is critical to build soil. And we know from regenerative agriculture that we can only build the kind of soil at the rate that we need to build it to balance the climate, stabilize water supplies, and grow enough food to feed humanity. We can only, and this is, you know, always ruffles feathers when I say this, but there's no evidence to the contrary. This is our understanding of multiple studies around the world to this date, stretching back 100-something years, the only way to build massive quantities of topsoil is to use animals, specifically ruminants, specifically herd animals. And so if you look at, like, what are the tools that we have to do that today, we don't have a tremendous amount of bison or buffalo. We do have a tremendous amount of cattle. So, you know, what do you eat? This then brings us back to the question of lunch or dinner. And the reality is, any time that we eat something from a confined feedlot, we support that massive system.
Yes, we do.
And that is, that's really hard. It's a much more nuanced thing to say to somebody, look, I'm not going to eat anything that comes from that system. I'm not opposed to humans consuming meat. You know, we know that they've done that for millennia on some level, never to the degree that we do in the United States today on a per capita basis. But what I am opposed to is anything that comes from that system. That then makes people think, like, well, what is the system? Why does the system exist? And it's not just cows being bad. So, unfortunately, that's a much longer answer than cows are bad, don't eat them, you know, which is the standard environmental kind of line. Cows are not inherently evil, you know. We need to create a new political understanding so that... Sorry, Andy, I know you
want to
talk, but the last thing I'll say on this is, ultimately, this is about law. And we live in a country, at least for the time being, where we have the rule of law. and we have created laws that perpetuate this nightmare. And that is, that has to stop. CAFOs need to become outlawed, not just in the United States, but globally. It is unhealthy, it is unsanitary, and it is immoral.
So I wanted to add that, but here's another example of how things are wrong. So every once in a while you read about E. coli, right? E. coli in lettuce, E. coli in this, and E. coli in that. Well, and they're trying to say, well, you know, it's the organic farmer that's not using the chemical. He's not doing it right. We're spraying over here, we're fine. But the real problem is the animal manure that's being done over there, the amount of, you know, they don't make compost out of it. They don't recycle it. They just let it pile up all over the place. And, of course, it's going to spread out to the environment. And you know there's something wrong with that when you have diseases spreading around everywhere, right?
It, you know, it's so ridiculous. Any opportunity to go after organic farming, the traditional industry will take that opportunity to try and go after. You know, look, you look at the United States food sector as a market segment. The only segment that's growing is organic and natural foods. People are waking up to this, you know. So, of course, the traditional industry is going to, you know, multi-billion dollar, you know, backed chemical industrial complex that stretches into the petroleum complex and the pharmaceutical complex. Of course, they're going to say organic is bad. Of course.
Did you read that? There was a recent report by Sanford. It's not recent, it was last year, that says there's no difference between organic and conventionally grown produce. They reached a conclusion that chemically there's no difference. And actually, they said we would starve if we were to rely on organic methods. We couldn't supply the world with the food.
That is just corporate propaganda. I mean, you can buy a study from any major university these days.
Yeah, follow the money.
follow the money. Look at the peer-reviewed stuff. Look at this, you know, again, where's the bell curve of information, not where's this outlier study that somebody paid for that proves something that is just, that's just a lie. I mean, it's a
flat-out Sanford
lie.
What Sanford did, they said, we study 400 studies. And when you look at that study, the study studied the other
studies.
It's a review
of literature. Yeah, it's not even a study. It's a review of literature, you know?
Right. Everybody studies the other studies. And there was one group that said, okay, we're going to take four plots, and we're going to make this an organic, that's conventional, and this would be the test, you know, whether you call it the neutral one. And we're going to just go out and, you know, they didn't have... They didn't buy seeds. They actually went and I think they bought one packet of seed and they split them up. And they came to the conclusion that there was no difference, organic otherwise, right? And there's so many things wrong with that. It's ridiculous.
If you live in an ivory tower and stare at your navel, you're going to come to the conclusion that the world is a very small place.
And that's been going on forever, and it will continue to do that, when in reality, a good sustainable farmer, right, will get better and better and better every year. The food will get better and better every year, and it's not the same pollution as you have a farmer who has to actually move to a different piece of land and let that land rest after a while, right?
This is ultimately an issue of consciousness.
Yeah.
We ultimately don't need more information on this subject.
No.
You know,
Kiss
the Ground is a book. I'm honored to have participated in writing it and on the journey still, and it's fascinating. But I didn't ostensibly find any new information. I collated information that's existed for most of it for 150 years. So the question is, what can we as a species do to raise consciousness?
Right.
Because it's literally the vibration of each person, the conversations that we're having, the interactions that we're having. You know, it's so easy to make people wrong around food. And look, I want to go after those chemical companies and say, look, what are you doing poisoning our kids? What's wrong with you? Are you insane?
Right.
And it's such a knee-jerk reaction. Just want to get up in their grill and rattle it, you know? But ultimately, we're not going to get anywhere by fighting against. We've got to build stronger coalitions. We've got to build more vibration in terms of our conversations and in terms of the importance of this in our lives. This has got to be, you know, this has got to be what our kids talk about. And when they open their lunchbox, they've got to understand what's going into it and where did it come from and how did it grow. It's a new story that we've got to create for our species. And that story is, you know, we were born into a planet that works, not a planet that doesn't work. And all we have to do is work with it, and it gives us everything we need. It's so simple.
That's so simple.
And that the simplicity of that story, I believe, will win within a very short period of time because more and more people are saying it, you know?
What I have in my latest book, which I'm sending you, is How to Work with Mother Nature Instead of Against Her. Big difference, because we're not really good. I mean, we can be good gardeners, but we're not. We're being very, very bad gardeners of the earth. We're polluting. You know, the Chinese say the frog does not pollute the pond it lives in.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
And
Kimberly,
and
you still impressive... there? Kimberly, hello?
I'm still here.
Did we answer your question?
You did, and I'm sorry I said standing your ground. I'm from Florida, so I think it's kiss the ground. But I can envision seeing something like what you're talking about, Josh, like on Netflix or something, because I think people are more open to watching documentaries and movies now. Is that something that the movie is going to be something along the lines that could be on Netflix eventually?
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, we've been working on the film for 5 years. It's very close to being done. We're shooting the very final interviews in the coming weeks, and we hope to premiere it by the middle of this year. So let's hope for Netflix
Wonderful.
Or National Geographic. And
okay.
If none of them take it, by gosh, we're just going to put it on YouTube so everybody in the world
Guys,
can see it.
Guys, we're going to have to go soon.
Okay.
Check out my website and everything else has his what's website? Want to give out a website real fast, Josh?
Absolutely. Kisstheground.com. Kisstheground.com. Yep.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much for everybody for listening to the show. And this would be on the podcast, so you'll be able to listen to it again. It'll be up there forever. Thank you, Josh. We'll get together again soon, okay?
And this was so beautiful, and I just really appreciate your work, Andy, and I'm so grateful to your listeners as well.
Thank you, and I do appreciate getting you on here because you're on the right track, and you have a big future ahead of us and ahead of you and ahead of what you can do for the earth, because this is the right message we need to be sending out now, right?
Yes.
Okay, man. Take care now. Okay, everybody, we're going to be going now. I'll be back. My show coming up is called The Cosmic Spaceship, and we're going to be shut off, come back on again, start up again. So this is Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. We had Josh Tickle on from Kiss the Ground, and you can get the book anywhere called Kiss the Ground. Josh Tickle, T-I-C-K-E-L-L. And we'll hopefully get him on to do more. Save the soil, you save the world. Okay, guys, so thank you very much for listening to my show, and we're going to be back on again next week. And this is, I think, pretty soon, or it's over with now. I think I'm not really sure.